Because he's the one who actually empowers us and commissions us to do these things. Rock is born. None of that stuff would happen if somebody didn't say, put hands on our shoulders and say, you know what? I believe in you guys. Go and do it. And so I give a big warm welcome to our senior pastor, Mr. Steve Long.
Thank you very much. I don't need a stand. I've got my Bible right here. Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here. Glad to be here again. I think the schedule for me is we've put together our speaking schedule for 2011. I'm going to all the different campuses and things, and I think I'm back in February again. So, yay! And then my wife's coming, I don't know, March or something like that. So, that's what people usually like, is my wife coming. So, you have been in a series, like all of our campuses have, talking about different individuals in the scriptures who God has used to make a difference in their city. And if I remember, or if I'm correct, you've probably talked about Nehemiah. Have you talked about Nehemiah? Yes? You did? You did talk about him. And the amazing thing about Nehemiah is in the story of Nehemiah, there's not one miracle, not one sign or wonder. It's a story of how a person who's an amazing administrator and a man who learned how to pray, and his prayers were short little prayers. They weren't big prayers. It was just, God, please help right now. And God, through just business savvy, was able to really transform the nation of, the city of Jerusalem. And I think you talked about a guy named Philip from Acts chapter 8, who was a signs and wonders specialist. And his job was, he was a waiter. And maybe he was a good Christian, but there was persecution that came to his church, and the Bible says that he, along with everyone in the church, ran, and they left their pastors to die. That's what it says in Acts chapter 8. And he's one of these guys who ran for his life when it got tough. But in his church, he'd seen how the apostles had done signs and wonders, and God anointed him, and he went to a city in Samaria, and a whole revival broke out because of him. And so here's a waiter, a Greek waiter as well, worked at Mr. Greek or Mr. Slovakia or one of those kind of places. By the way, I love Greek food, just to let you know. Greek's good, isn't it? It's very good. And I think you talked about, did you do a talk on the woman at the well from John chapter 4? She doesn't even have a name. She's just called the woman at the well. And that story talks to us about how one lady who had one prophetic word from Jesus, and the word was this, you've had five husbands. And that one word so shocked her. She realized, oh my goodness, this man knows everything about me, even though Jesus didn't say anything else about her. And she went back to her city, back to her town, and told people, I've met the Messiah. And the Bible says that people believed her. And then he said, come and see Jesus, the man who told me all this. And they went out, and Jesus had a two-day revival meeting with these people. And it says many believed, many more people believed. And so there's all these interesting people. And today we're going to look at another lady in the scripture. And it says Acts 10, but it's actually Acts chapter 9. So my apologies for that. So if you have your Bible and want to follow along, great. Otherwise, we're going to have the scriptures on the screen for you. So Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 9, verse 36. It says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, and so when the disciples heard that people was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. And Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed. And turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. It's a very interesting passage, and the focus is on this lady. And as you look in the scriptures, you're going to see that what happened, there's two miracles. There's this lady being raised from the dead, but the other one was, why did so many people be influenced in this city? And it's because of one lady who is a seamstress. She was a dressmaker. And she cared for the poor. That's the big one. So we've had administrators change cities. We've had prophetic words change city. We've had signs and wonders change cities. And here's a lady who is able to influence a whole town because of caring for the poor. And so we're just going to focus on that a little bit. So the city of Joppa in the Old Testament is today called Jaffa. It's a port city, and it services the city of Jerusalem because Jerusalem is an inland city. And all the stuff that was used in the Old Testament for rebuilding the Temple of Solomon, for rebuilding the nation, the surroundings around, the walls around Jerusalem, all would come through that port. And if you remember Jonah and the whale, remember that story? This is the port where he takes off, and he's actually supposed to be going the other way. He's supposed to be going over to Persia, but instead of doing that, he gets in a boat on the Mediterranean, and he's sailing towards Spain. So he's absolutely going the wrong direction, but that's the port that he took off from as well. So here's our points this morning. Number one is Dorcas impacted her city through her care for the poor and the widows. And it says there's a lady who's a disciple. Do you remember what the word disciple does not mean? One of the 12. The word disciple is the word for every person in the scriptures in the book of Acts who is a follower of Jesus. You became a disciple of Jesus. And just like many people have mentors today, people have people that they follow, and the word in the Bible for that would be disciple. You are being trained by someone. You are being following in their teachings. And so Jesus would have been her teacher, and now because Jesus is ascended to heaven, she's following the teaching of the Christian church. He has pastors, and Peter would have been one of her leaders. So she's a disciple, and it says she was always doing good and helping the poor. That's a good thing, isn't it? Did you know there are amazing rewards for people who help the poor? Did you know that there's rewards for people who work with widows and orphans? All the way through the scripture, God is on the side of people who work with widows and orphans and help them. And it would seem like there are bonus things that happen. We have a gentleman that goes to the airport campus that once a month, he and his wife are at Followers Mission, which is a ministry that cares for guys, primarily men who live on a corner of Queen and Sherbourne, which is called Crack Corner in Toronto. And there's a big Salvation Army hostel, is that the right word? Shelter. 600 beds, but they really don't do any ministry. It's just a bed and a cup of coffee and a croissant kind of thing in the morning, and then they're sent out onto the streets. And Young Wah has built this little, she bought a little tattoo parlor, and then she bought a little Subway, she's renting them, but she's got three little storefront places that are the most run-down part of Toronto, and she's knocked out walls and built this little drop-in center, and she calls it Followers Mission. This is a Korean lady, and she's like 64 years of age, and she just started. She had a heart as she was driving. She lives on Avenue Road and Lawrence area. This is where she used to live, in the big houses. Like her house, when she sold it a couple years ago, sold for like $1.8 million. So her husband's a doctor. Big income, their kids go to Upper Canada College, big private school, all that kind of stuff. And as she's driving, she sees all these homeless people, and she felt God speak to her and say, you need to do something about that. And what she did was she took her hibachi, being Korean, Koreans like to cook in hibachis. Did you know that? If you go to a Korean restaurant, small little hibachis brought to your table in the nice Korean restaurants, and you get to cook your own meat to whatever level you like to be cooked. Have you done that? It's very good. So she has her own hibachi, and she takes it down and sets it up in this park at right by Moss Park Armory. There's a little parkette right there, and she took some hot dogs and just began to cook hot dogs and give them away because the guys on the street, they don't get lunch. They don't get an evening meal. And she just started doing this on a Tuesday, and she did it every single Tuesday and starts talking about Jesus. And then she said another lady was coming along the TTC on the subway car, not subway car, streetcar, on Queen Street, and this lady sees a Korean lady in this park every Tuesday night giving away hot dogs. And so one day she just got off the streetcar and came over and said, like, what are you doing? And it's like, well, this is what I'm doing. And they both found out they're both followers of Jesus. And so she said, well, I'll help you. That lady is a doctor, part of our church. And so the two of them began to minister to people in Toronto, and now they've got this whole ministry. And God is just all over ministries that care for the poor. Back up to the man in our, that I was going to tell you about from the airport campus. He and his wife, Garth's his name, his wife's Mary, and they're there once a month on a Sunday, and they're caring for the poor. They're preaching, they're just being involved, they take their cell group down. And Garth is a guy who is absolutely blessed by God in terms of just a whole bunch of different areas. He's the president CEO of a $6 billion corporation in Toronto. And he would say that one of the secrets for his income, one of the secrets for his success, as it were, in the corporate realm, is that he and his wife have always had part of their job, part of their ministry, part of their time is to serve people who don't have the advantages that they have. And if you ask him and said, do you think that God is being your rewarder? He would say, absolutely. And so I want to encourage you that that's a good investment of your time. So back to Dorcas. She's caring for the poor. And as we find out a little bit later on, what she does is she uses her profession of being a dressmaker. And I don't know if she had her own shop or if she's just doing one on, you know, this is her hobby. But she's using dresses, and she was clothing widows, is what the Bible says. So she impacts her city through her job. And when she dies, it says all the widows stood around Peter crying and showing him the robes and the other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And when it talks about all the widows, I don't know if it means all the widows in the town or just all the widows that were in that room. It's at least all the widows that were in that room. And potentially this lady's had an impact. And because she's dead, everyone's going to God or to Peter, who's the pastor, and saying, that's not right. If there's ever a lady that needs a miracle, if there's ever a lady that needs to have God do something for her, this lady does. Because if she's gone, who's going to make my dress? who's going to look after me? And it would appear, just from sort of reading between the lines here, that other people weren't as motivated to care for the poor as she was. It would appear that it was primarily her, and so the people that she's caring for are calling out to God and are saying, do something. Like, God, help this lady. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Actually, we're going to talk about it right now. So when a miracle's needed, when you need a miracle in your life, why would people call out for a miracle on your behalf? Because when you're dead, you can't call out for a miracle. I don't know if you figured that one out yet. You can't start praying when you're dead and saying, oh God, please, please, please. Other people have to do that for you. And this lady had a whole group of people calling out when she needed a miracle. I love that. We had a lady that was part of our Baptist church, Irish couple, and When the revival began at the airport church in 1994, they came to us and said, we hope you don't mind, but we're thinking of switching churches and going to the airport church. And we said, we hope you don't mind, but we're thinking of changing churches as well and going to that very same church. And it's like, okay, we'll both go at the same time then. So we switched over, and Sandra and I became part of the pastoral team of the airport church. And so this lady is just a wonderful, caring lady. She had a healing ministry in our Baptist church. And in our Baptist church, the custom in our denomination was that you didn't pray for sick people. Like, you prayed for them, but you didn't put your hand on them and say, God, come and do a miracle right now. And whenever we had sick people in our church, we would, as pastors, take her over to them, and she would quietly pray in a corner, and so she's not bringing offense to people who don't believe in healing and don't want to do that and get embarrassed by all that kind of stuff. And she was just very, very gifted at praying for sick people. And I can remember, some of you are are too young to know this, and some of you that follow baseball may know that the Toronto Blue Jays, a number of years ago, about 25 years ago, had a pitcher by the name of Ken Daly. And Ken Daly was a big shot pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. He was brought in as a hired gun. He's a closer. So he's the guy who finishes the game off, and he's supposed to be getting everyone out, you know, three strikes and you're out kind of thing. And he was brought in from St. Louis, and St. Louis had just won the World Series. And Ken Daly came over, and he was the highest paid athlete in Toronto. And big press, and the city of Toronto's all excited. We got one of the best pitchers for our team. And in spring training in Florida, it's reported, oh my goodness, he's got a health problem. He has an inner ear problem, and standing on the pitching mound, which is 9 inches above the ground, where the pitcher throws from, just 9 inches up in the air, his inner ear problem would give him equilibrium problems, and he couldn't stand properly. He couldn't throw the ball straight because of an inner ear problem. And so the whole season, he's sitting on the bench and did not pitch in one single game. And everyone's going, well, that was a waste of money. And people started complaining about the guy. And then the next year, he's on the bench. And we had heard at our church that he was a follower of Jesus. And we used to have celebrities that would come in every so often and try to have a big attendance day and get all sorts of people into the building and all that kind of stuff to hear about Jesus. And so we invited Ken to come and speak at our Baptist church. And we're doing a series of, I can't remember what the series was about, but it was something like, what do you do when life doesn't go well or something like that. And he talks about his experience. And he talked about how everyone is upset with him. When he goes to restaurants with his family, people come up and are really rude to him. And it's like, thanks for taking my money. You know, all this kind of stuff. And just all the stuff that was against him because of his health problem. Well, guess what we did at the end of the night or the end of the day? We took him into a corner and we said, we have a lady in our church who's really good at healing people. Can she pray for you? Yes, she can. And off she goes into the corner, and 5 minutes later, he comes back and he goes, wow, he's shaking his head and he's going, I think I'm better. Within a week, he was pitching for the Blue Jays. He'd gotten healed. And we're all going, well done. Very, very good. And like all of a sudden, healing was now a big part of our church. And all the people that she'd ministered to, when she had a health problem, guess who starts praying? The people she'd ministered to. She had, it doesn't finish well, this story. Well, it does finish well, but it doesn't finish well. She had a life-threatening cancer, and I can't remember exactly what kind of cancer it was, and she had a miracle. On death's door, she was instantly healed. And then a couple years later, she had another kind of cancer in a very different part of her body, and again, I can't remember where it was. And again, on death's door, and the same people calling out, praying for her, and she got healed. And then she got cancer a third time. This time it was lung cancer, and that one, she died. So that's not the great part. And she would have been in her 50s. And I can remember the people who were her closest friends came to Sandra and I, John Arnott, our founding pastor, was away at that time, and said, could we have a meeting? Could we pray for a resurrection of this lady? And I had never been a part of a time when anyone had ever come to me and said, can we pray for a resurrection? Can we pray for someone to be raised from the dead? And I'm going, it's in the Bible. Let's do it. Well, you wouldn't believe the government red tape that you've got to do to get a body out of a funeral home. Like, it's not an easy thing. You can't, once they're in there, like, they're, it's legal papers and all this kind of stuff. And we had to get special permission through lawyers and all that kind of stuff to have her body brought to a church. And it needed to be a church within so many miles. And so we rented, can't remember what kind of church, Dutch Reform, I think it was, that was right in her community. And they had like a viewing time for people to come and pay their respects. And that went from like 7 o'clock until 9. And then at 9 o'clock, people from our church began to show up. And we told people on the Sunday morning, I think this was on a Monday or a Tuesday, was the prayer time. And on the Sunday morning, we told people, this lady's passed away, and we're going to have a time to pray for her to be raised from the dead. And if you'd like to be part of that team, go and see her best friend, Carol, over here. And Carol's putting together a schedule. And you can't all be there at 9 o'clock because you know, we don't want everyone there, so you got to space yourself through. So like I was scheduled at like 4 to 6 in the morning or something like that. And everyone wanted the first time slot because everyone was convinced if there's ever a lady that can be raised from the dead in Toronto, this is her. It was because of what she'd done for others. Isn't that good? She wasn't raised from the dead. We had the funeral. And even at the graveside, people would not leave the graveside expecting that God was still going to do something. There was just a lot of faith and a lot of hope for that. I can remember leaving there and feeling just very proud of the fact that we as a church had began to believe for something that we hadn't ever prayed for before. And we're sort of taking the level up a little bit and believing for miracles that we haven't seen yet. And since then, I've prayed for probably 5 or 6 people to be raised from the dead, and none of them in Canada yet so far. I've had one lady that died in a meeting in Amsterdam, like while I was preaching. Can you believe the audacity of someone to die while I was preaching? Congregation about 200 right by the Schiphol Airport. And she just keeled over, and I saw her because they had a stage. It's a Pentecostal church, and she's back over here. And I didn't know her or didn't know anything. I just saw there was a commotion at the back, and people are jumping up into their seats, and people are looking down on the floor. And the pastor who's sitting in the front row, like right over here, doesn't know what's going on. I said, "Pastor, I think something happened. Do you mind just going to check?" And he comes back, and he runs. He doesn't run. He comes up to the front, and he's in shock, and he's weeping, he's crying, and he goes, "Sister so-and-so has just died." And what happened was there was 2 nurses sitting right behind this lady, and they said they heard her last breath go, and apparently your last breath is a different kind of breath. And they said they heard that, and now they're doing mouth-to-mouth, there's no pulse, there's no breathing, there's no heartbeat. And another nurse was in the building from another, and she came over, and the 3 of them are doing everything they can. They phoned 911 or whatever, what's the number in Holland? 112. They phoned 112. And as the pastor sharing this, people began to just weep like they're crying. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Steve, do you still have your microphone?" And I had one of those clip-on mics. And it's like, "Yes, I do." Start speaking life. And so I just, because they're all crying. And I just said, "Friends, we're going to pray for a miracle right here and now." And one of the guys that goes to our airport campus, he lives in Brampton, Kell, Patterson, Danish guy. He's like 75 years of age, been married 50 years. Cal's there on our team because we're getting ready to this is our very first visit to see Roland and Heidi Baker in Africa. And Cal has a video camera, and he's sitting in the front row with all of our team. There's like 9 of us. And he picks up his video camera and goes to the back and starts filming. And within 10 minutes, that lady was up, walked into the ambulance, was released about an hour later, came home, came to the healing service we had that night. That was good. So I can't say that she was dead because there wasn't a doctor there to give a doctor's certificate. And apparently a nurse is not good enough. You have to have a doctor to give a death certificate. But the three nurses that were there said she was dead. So I'm going, okay. Sorry? Mostly dead, yes. Do you remember the movie The Princess Bride and Billy Crystal, whatever, he was mostly dead, that's right. Mostly dead. So here's the question. Who's calling out for you when you need a miracle? Have you done something to get God's attention? And in this passage, it would seem to say that this lady got a miracle because of what she had done for other people. That her investment in others counted. There's another story of the very same city in Acts chapter 10 of a man named Cornelius. He is he's not a Jewish man. And if you do you remember the story where Peter is sleeping in an upstairs room, and he's having like a nap, and God shows him a sheet and different animals that good Jewish boys are not allowed to eat. So it's probably pork and shrimp and lobster and horse and, you know, dogs and whatever kind of animals that Jewish people wouldn't eat. And he's going, the Lord says to him in the dream, "Get up and eat." Remember that story? And God came to this man and it was like, or came to Peter and told him about going to the city. And one of the things that's in that passage is that this man deserves, and he was the first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit. There's another man, and I don't remember if he's has a name, but he's talked about in the book of Luke, of a healing where Jewish people came to Jesus and said, "This Roman centurion built our synagogue. He funded the building of our synagogue, and he's not even Jewish." And the Jewish people came to Jesus and said, "If there's someone that deserves to get their healing, this guy needs a healing. And he deserves it because he paid for our synagogue." And Jesus went and healed the guy. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We're able to do things, it would appear, that set us up that when you and I need a miracle, that God's able to go, "Okay, perfect." And I want to encourage you that in the scriptures, this is one of the ways that we get God's attention for when we need something, is by caring for people. So I got a couple questions for you. Are you naturally gifted? And the answer would be yes. Every single one of us in this room are good at something, because God has gifted every single one of us with some ability. Can we use that for other people? So I don't know what you're thinking you're good at. Did you know that by smiling, that could be your gift, and just somehow turning the countenance of other people around? Maybe you have finances. Maybe you have other kind of gifts and abilities to be able to do stuff. What can you do to care for people? Do you live for yourself, or do you also think about living for others? It's a good question, isn't it? And are you setting yourself up for a miracle when you need one? I want to tell you a story I shared last night. I was at a Partners in Harvest Church in McTeer, just about an hour north and west of Barrie. And it's a church that's having their 10th anniversary. And so those of you that are longtime attenders of our church, you'll remember that in 95, we went to a town and we took 100 turkeys for this little church to give away in that community. And John Arnott and Ramesh Narain, who's the pastor of our Scarborough campus, took this, like rented a freezer truck and took 100 big turkeys, not just the small ones, but the big ones, and took it up to this little town with a lot of unemployment. And there's a bar, there's one restaurant slash bar slash post office slash liquor store slash, it's like, you know, it's a small country town kind of thing. And the bar is called Tarbenders. So when you're drunk, you can't say bartender and you get the words mixed up. So that bar's called Tarbenders. And it's the only restaurant in town. And the town's not very big, maybe 500 people. And so 100 turkeys showing up is basically giving a turkey to everyone in town who needs one. And they had made arrangements, this church that we're working with, it's called Muskoka Harvest. They'd made arrangements and said, if you need a turkey, be at Tarbenders at 12 noon. And whatever, Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. And so here's John Arnott. And everyone's, you know, before they give the turkeys out, John stands up and says, we want you to know that there's a church in Toronto that loves you guys and cares for you. And we're partners with Pastor Janet here. And we just want to say Merry Christmas and we love you. And Pastor Janet has a meeting every Sunday at the community center. And so why don't you come and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what they started calling our church? Because we had someone for 12 straight weekends. We took people to McTeer to do a Holy Spirit weekend, healing meetings, all that kind of stuff every weekend. And everyone in the town, when they saw these new faces come in every weekend, we were called the Turkey Church. You're the guys from the Turkey Church? So last night they were talking about it, the Turkey Church. Just by giving away turkeys impacted a little town. And everyone still remembers the Turkey Church. Isn't that cool? Very simple things that God can use. I want to tell you one more story that sort of relates to this. But I want to encourage you that Every one of us is also not just has abilities and gifts, but every single one of us is wired with the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us can begin to move into the supernatural even when we don't know that we're doing it. Yes? So 6 weeks ago, Sandra and I are in Mozambique, Africa. We're with Roland and Heidi's orphanage, or one of their orphanages, and we had 39 people from our church and from other churches that are connected with us that were on our team. And we had a great time. And before, we had like 3 days in South Africa as sort of like a training, getting everyone together. And we had realized that there was 40 Western missionaries on this base in northern Mozambique, which is a Muslim community. And there's 39 of us. And so how about we take all of their team out for dinner one night? And there's a number of different restaurants. Their base is right on the Indian Ocean. So it's their base hits a road, and on the other side of the street, you're right into the Indian Ocean. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. 5-star hotel, like 2 miles away. A couple of different little beach hotels and things like that. Tourism is starting to happen because of the ocean is just beautiful. So it turns out that it's not going to be easy to get 80 people. There's no restaurants big enough for 80 people. That's the problem. And so we decided instead to have them cater it. And so I've collected everybody's money from our 39, and it's going to be $20 each, $20 US, $10 for my meal, $10 for their meal. And we're going to have butter chicken, and we're going to have fish chicken and rice, and we're going to have a nice meal. So I've got $800 cash, and I get in the pickup truck that's going down to get the food with one of the other girls on their team, one of the missionaries. And we head down there, and when anyone shows up with $800, you're the big shot. And this would be more business than they would get in a week at this restaurant. And so the manager is a lady from Brazil, I find out. Can't remember her name, so we'll call her Maria. Attractive gal. And she comes up and she's introduced to me. She knows the other missionaries and knows it's all prearranged that we're getting this food and it's not quite ready yet. And so she's like a hostess and just talking to me and being nice to me and cordial because I've got $800 to give her. So like we count the money and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just having small talk. And for those of you that know me, I like to, at the end of my small talk, ask a simple question. Excuse me, but do you have pain in your body? And I just flow out of conversation to say, do you have pain in your body? And they don't think that I'm being religious. I'm just asking a question. And more often than not, most people do have pain in their body. And so I'll say, well, say this little prayer with me. And the little prayer goes, my healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now. And they say that, and probably 99 out of 100, maybe 98. But almost everybody gets healed instantly as I say that. Then I have opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. So I'm planning to do that with this lady. And so we're checking and talking. And so I said to her, by the way, do you have pain in your body? And she says, no, but I'm happy for you to pray that I don't get pain. So I prayed a little prayer that she wouldn't get pain. And then I said something that I didn't realize was anything. And it's something that I've never said before. But I said to the lady, does your husband have pain? And she says, I don't have a husband. I have a friend. And all of a sudden, I'm into John chapter 4, the woman at the well, when Jesus said, remember, you have 5 husbands. And I'm into it, and it's like, oh my goodness, God just set me up. Because I had just finished preaching on that story. And it was like, oh my goodness. And then I found my mouth saying something that my head hadn't thought about yet. And I said, does he love you? Well, I didn't realize that that could cause ladies to cry. And she says, that's the question. I don't know if he loves me. And then I clearly get a word from the Lord. The other ones are just, I don't realize that I'm in the flow. I don't realize the Holy Spirit's using me and setting me up. But now I do. And the word that came to me, and I said, Maria, God just spoke to me and he told me this. You're more important to him than to be the toy for a man. And she's off crying again. It was like, oh my goodness. What have I done? And right about that time, the chef comes out, okay, we're ready for you to go. And it's like, no, I can't go right now. I'm just like, this lady's heart's just wide open. I can't just leave. And it was like, oh my goodness. So I just said, I'm so sorry, I've got to go, but can I come back? Can I bring my wife back? Can we talk with you a little bit more? And yes. So we came back on the Saturday, the day we're flying out, had lunch at that restaurant again. It was my third time eating at that restaurant. And Sandra led her to Jesus. It was amazing. So can I encourage you? Not only do you have some sort of giftings, like natural giftings, but you also have spiritual giftings that just flow out of you, whether you realize it or not. God's wired you to be able to make a difference in people's lives. And you never know that one person that you connect with could open up another whole group of people. We had yesterday, there was a psychic fair, I think, downtown at the one of the convention centers on the exhibition. And we had a group of students from our School of Ministry partner with one of the guys from the airport campus who does this kind of stuff and loves to go and send teams. And so I think there's like 30 people from our church and a School of Ministry team that were down there. I talked to one guy this morning and he said it was awesome. So that's all I heard was it was awesome. But we've done this kind of stuff lots of different times. And one of the things that we've learned at these connection times is people who go to psychic fairs and that kind of stuff, they're searching for reality. They're searching for God. And so we just have a corny little sign and booth that says free prayer, free destiny words, free dream interpretation. And so people come and they sign up. And Yari, the gentleman who's leading it, Finnish gentleman, has a Ukrainian wife. For some reason, I know people's nationalities in our church. Anyways, he's leading this. And he sent me an email on Friday to say that the show has canceled them. And the reason they were canceled was because the previous year they were too popular and had too many people lining up for their booth that the other booths were all complaining that people couldn't get to their booths. And so they were canceled on the Friday. And he said, you know, sorry, you've already filled in the forms. This is discriminatory. And, you know, he used all those kind of things. And they said, okay, they put them back in. And so they had the event yesterday, and it's going on again today. There's people from our church down at that kind of event. What we did, I don't know for sure if they did this, but what we did last year when people connected with our team, invited Jesus into their life, they're not used to going to church. They don't want to go to church in many cases. They've been burnt by church. Church has been boring, irrelevant, and they just don't want to do it. And so we tried to figure out, how do you follow up people who've now given their life to Jesus but don't want to come into a meeting like this? And John Ardert, our founding pastor, had a God idea. And so we created this little form, little card, that said, would you like to have some of these people come to your house and have a dream interpretation party? Like Tupperware parties. Like candle parties. And so the card said that if you can get 5 or 6 of your friends together, we'll send 3 people and we'll do it all in your house for free. And you know, last year we had people fill in the forms, and we had cell groups go to people's homes last year and do stuff in their home. And guess who they're inviting? They're inviting their friends. Their friends who are also open to God and open to supernatural things. And guess who does the introduction? The person who last weekend or 2 weekends prior has just met Jesus. And they're saying, I was down at the psychic fair and they had this booth and I signed up. It was like free this. And I went in and oh my goodness, they read my mail and they introduced me to Jesus. And I didn't realize Jesus had been the answer. And here's these guys and they're going to do it for us today. And one person opens the door for others. Isn't that amazing? And here's another shocking thing. They still weren't ready to come to church. So we have another in-between. We have events called soaking centers. And if you don't know what a soaking center is, it's like a cell group, except you just loiter on the floor. Like you lie on the floor or lie on a couch. And you just let the Holy Spirit, quiet music, come and begin to connect with you. And God begins to talk to you. And they love soaking. They're into that kind of stuff. It's cool, isn't it? They haven't started taking tithing envelopes yet, but that's all right. That's not the big deal, is it? God wants to use every single one of us. So this little series, this is the last one in your little series. And it doesn't matter what your skill is. So Nehemiah is an administrator. God uses him. The lady at the well, five husbands. She's been used by men all her life. Legal marriages, but one of the things that Jesus was rebuking and trying to talk about was in the Old Testament, or sorry, in the New Testament when he was living, was how the Jewish people were using divorce as a legal prostitution. And so men would marry for the weekend, have sex with a lady, divorce her, marry the next weekend another lady, divorce, marry another, and that's what the tradition was. And Jesus, so this lady's in that business. And she, well, not business, but she's been in that cycle. She's had five husbands, and now the guy she's with, they haven't bothered getting married. And that one lady influenced her city. And then Philip, a Greek waiter, who left his pastors to die. I like to make that point, being a pastor. He ran when the going gets tough, and he goes to a city in Samaria. And God uses him for miracles. And the most famous man in the city, a sorcerer by the name of Simon, got born again. Remember that story? God's all into using ordinary people. None of the people in this series have been pastors, by the way. They've just been ordinary folks that God wants to use. So are you an ordinary folk, or are you more of a celebrity? Any celebrities in the room? Jason. Jason's about to be a celebrity. How about you close your eyes? Father, thank you so much that you desire to use us. You like to use ordinary people to impact other people's lives and change the king, change our cities and bring the kingdom of God to planet Earth. And Father, I'm asking for every person that's in this room that you just begin to stir in us and say, you know what? I think I could do that. I think I could help there. I think I could use my gifts, my talents that way. And Father, I'm asking that as we begin to have a heart for other people and not just be living for ourselves. Father, thank you that the Bible would seem to say that we begin to plant seeds for when we need people to be helping us. We're actually investing in our own lives, in our own future, when we help other people. And that whole principle that's all the way through the Bible, the most common theme of the Bible, is sowing and reaping. When we give away, we have the right to expect something in return. And so, Father, as we sow our lives into the lives of other people, thank you, Father, that you're storing up, you're keeping track. And there's people that will, when we need help, stand with us and pray with us. When we need help, there's people that will be aggressive in the kingdom of God for us. And Father, thank you that we can be a part of your kingdom, your supernatural kingdom. Father, we thank you that that the kingdom of God is not about strength, it's not about smarts, it's not about a whole bunch of things. It's a supernatural kingdom. And ordinary people partnering with God can make a difference. So Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your extreme love to us. We bless you today, Father. I'd like you just to stand up, if that's all right. And can I get you to get in a group of three? We've got 5 minutes to do this before our official or unofficial closing time. So find three people. Actually, find two people. Just get in a little group. If you need to be four, that's okay. If you get to be six, divide up. So just a small little group. And here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you to take 10 seconds each and tell people what is something that you're good at. A hobby. I like to play piano. I'm good at math. I'm good at video games. And just tell the people something that you're good at. And then the other two people pray for you and lay hands on you and somehow that you'll be able to connect with other people through what you're good at. That'd be all right? Okay, go. Tall person in your group, go first. What are you good at? However you want to do it. What are you good at? And then have the other people just put their hand on your shoulder and say, God, be with them, help them. May they be used by the Holy Spirit to connect with other people. A quick prayer for each other. You can use each one of us to get 3 more minutes. You love to be with us. You love to use us. Impact in the kingdom of God. May our blessings have impact. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So if you haven't prayed for everybody, pray for your last person. Wrap up your prayer. And what I'd like you to do now is put a hand on the shoulder of the person right beside you in your little group. So put your hand on each other's shoulders. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us again right now? Pour out your Spirit. Father, we thank you that the kingdom of God happens because of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God is available for us. Every one of us who is a follower of Jesus, we have the Spirit of God living in us. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. Use us this week. Empower us. May we find ourselves in situations where just the things that naturally we do, the conversations that we always have with the same people, may we find ourselves in the flow of the anointing, and all of a sudden, we've got words, we've got encouragement, we've got insights, we have wisdom. Father, when people have sickness and pain this week and we hear about it, as we just say a simple prayer or something like, can I pray for you? Father, may miracles happen this week through us. And Daddy, would you pour your Spirit into us again today? Give us more. May our minds quickly jump to the thoughts of God. May our heart be turned very quickly when you're speaking to us and pointing us in a direction. Father, may we be led by your Spirit this week. Spirit of God, would you come? Fill every one of us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we are done, except if you would like someone to pray with you just a little bit more about something that maybe we've not talked about today. So if you'd like someone to pray for you, just come on up to the front. Myself, Alika and Case, who are interns with me. I forgot to introduce them. Sorry about that, guys. So if you'd like someone to pray for you about something and just to stand in agreement, remember the Bible says when 2 or 3 people agree on something, it's done. So if you'd like some prayer, just make yourself, just come up to the front and we'll pray for you. Jason's here as well. And otherwise, God bless you. Jason, any closing words?
Okay, just one thing.
Actually, no, I have no closing words. Blessings, have an awesome week. Amen.